welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
You open up your mouth and give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. Hallelujah. Come on, you looking at me. Open up your mouth and give him glory. Hallelujah. We honor you, Jesus. We adore you, Lord. You're the best thing. You're the best thing. You're the best thing. We thought it was in a man, but we learned that you are the best. We thought it was in a woman, oh God, but we learned that you are the best thing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the best thing. Come on, some of us have tried some things in our lives and we learned real quick that nobody can do you like Jesus. Nobody, nobody. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Hallelujah. So we give him glory. So we give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is he worthy of the praise? Is he worthy of the praise? When I look back over my life and I think of all he's done for me, I gotta give him glory this morning. I gotta exalt him this morning. Hallelujah. Nobody could save me like he could. Hallelujah. Nobody could love me like he could. Hallelujah. We give him glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. Amen. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. I honor the presence of the Lord. I'm so grateful to be in this house this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Amen. Amen. So I give honor to God. Amen. I give honor to the ministers and the deacons in charge in this house. I want to honor Deacon Nix, Trustee Pelzer, Minister Lingam, Reverend Pyfrom this morning. Also Deacon Charlotte and Deacon Rose. I give honor to everyone in their respectful places. Amen. Come on, can we bless the Lord for them this morning? Amen. I also want to honor Minister Carmina Michaels, who invited me this morning. I've been here probably about 8 years ago at the Bible school. I did a chapel, and I spoke at the chapel several years ago. So I'm so grateful and honored to be back this morning. I give honor to my pastor, Bishop Maureen L. Davis. Amen. The pastor of the Open Door Mission True Light Church. And I thank God for my mother, who is here this morning. Can we bless the Lord for my mom? We had a very, very long day yesterday. And she got up this morning very early to come with me, and I do not take that for granted. Amen. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I was happy to look over and see Minister Furby over here. Amen. She's such a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen. My church's organization, the Gates of Heaven Assembly of Churches, recorded an album about 2 years ago. Let me tell you something. She wrote and led one of the songs that's on the album. If you don't have it, ask her how to get it, because let me tell you, it was anointed. Amen? I was riding down the street one day. I had to pull over. I said, wait, this caught me off guard. Amen, amen. But I'm so honored to be here. Honored to be here on Youth Day. I was a youth leader for about 8 or 9 years. So I really do have a passion for working with young people. I currently work in the area of college access and success. I'm a director for a college access and success program. So it is centered around high school students and college students as well. In addition, I have led the dance ministry at my church for about the last 18 years. So to see the dance ministry today gave me so much joy. So much joy. You ladies, keep on going. You are phenomenal. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to give a word of admonishment. And then if you come back at 11 o'clock, I'll give a word of encouragement. Is that all right? All right. So we're going to go to Psalms 42. If you don't mind, and if you are able, please stand for the reading of the word. This is a very, very familiar passage. It simply says, starting at verse 1, as the deer pants for the water, and I'm reading out of the NIV, as the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you cast down? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon and Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you cast down? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I'm going to follow up really quickly with Psalms 24 and 6. It simply says, this is the generation of them that seek him who seek thy face, O Jacob. You may have your seats. Amen. If I was going to take a subject for this morning, it would be, I've got to get my seeking back. I've got to get my seeking back. Father, we love you. We honor you. We thank you for this day that you've given us, oh God. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house to worship together as a body of believers. For we know, Lord, that there is strength in unity, oh God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would just use me, oh God, for your glory, that you would hide me behind the cross. God, I am but a vessel. I can do nothing without your anointing, without your power, without your clarity. I pray that you would just move in this place, encourage us. Let this word stir us this morning. God, and if nothing else, let it make a deposit into the young people for what's really important. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise that this word will take root, that it will not be like, that it will not fall into stony hearts this morning, but that it will take root and produce a harvest. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. 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 I've got to get my seeking back. And as I was seeking the Lord about this message, it didn't feel to me like expressly a youth message. But I think this admonishment is more to the seasoned saints as it relates to be an example for our young people. Amen. I think that one of the things that was really important to me in working in youth ministry, how many of you know that when you go to church, especially from a young child, you learn how to do church? Yes. Right? You know how to do church, but you don't always know how to do God. You don't always have a relationship with God. And at the end of the day, the shout is going to stop and the music is going to stop. And if you don't have a relationship with God, then there is nothing to sustain you. So I think if there is anything that I have wanted to deposit into the next generation, it was the desire and the passion for seeking God, for having a real personal relationship with God. Because you're not going to make it on your grandmother's salvation, your mother's salvation, your daddy's salvation. If you don't know the Lord for yourself, when all hell breaks through in your life, you will be in a crazy room somewhere knocking your head up against the wall. Amen? Amen. So I've got to get my seeking back. And I will follow that up with a subtitle, A Generation of Seekers. A Generation of Seekers. When you talk about the word seeking, seeking is a verb defined as an attempt to find something or the desire to obtain or achieve someone. It's synonymous with action phrases like on the hunt for or a pursuit of, and it denotes the idea of a seeker passionately chasing or tracking down something that is of great value to them. This concept of seeking is not foreign to the believer because the very fact that you and I are saved today is a reflection and a result of the fact that God sought you out. When you were in a crack house, when you were laying in that bed that you wasn't supposed to be in, when you were smoking that weed, when you were doing all of the things that you know you were not supposed to do, God sought you out. I know a lot of us think that we found God, but the reality is that God sought you
out. He was seeking us out way before we were ever thinking about him, way before we ever wanted to come to church, way before we ever wanted to put on church clothes. He was seeking us out. How many of you know that it was the blood of Jesus that sought you out, that you were on a destructive path and you were getting ready to drive yourself in a place that was going to put you on a trajectory to hell, but the blood of Jesus sought you out? Isaiah 65 and 1 says that I revealed myself to those who did not even ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me, to a nation who did not call on my name. I said, here I am, here I am, when I wasn't even thinking about God. Thank God he was thinking about me. So now this relationship with God and man has a theme of seeking. There should be a continuum of seeking and finding, chasing and being chased. This is why God is constantly calling the bride, the church, wooing us into his presence. And his expectation is that in turn, we will run after him with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and with all of our souls. We must understand that this relationship with God is not intended to be a one-sided relationship. Has anybody ever been in a one-sided relationship? You're the only one calling. You're the only one texting. You're trying to figure out what this thing is really all about. But this relationship between man and God is not intended to be a one-sided relationship. This is designed for us to be just as desperate for God as he is for us. The Bible says in Psalms 14 and 2 that God is searching for those who have a desire for him. It says that he looks down on from heaven on mankind to see if there is anyone seeking for him. Seeking for God should not be an add-on to our relationship with Christ, but it should be at the very core of who we are. Over and over again, the Bible instructs us to actively pursue God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and 11 says that we are to look for him, look to him for strength and seek him continuously. James chapter 4 verse 8 says that we are to draw nigh unto him. He says, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. And so many times in our lives, we go through seasons where we feel like we can't feel God, but maybe it's because you're not drawing nigh unto him. Because the Bible promises that if you draw nigh unto him, that he will draw nigh unto you. And Jeremiah 29 and 13 picks it up. He says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. This gives us to know that God is looking for those who are relentless about spending time in his presence. Gone is the day where we come to church just to come to church. Gone is the day where we come to church just to make it a routine. I can tell you something, that if that's your purpose for coming to church, you might as well sleep in on Sunday morning. Gone is the day where we come to church to have a social hour. Gone is the day where we come to church to see what somebody else has on, but God is seeking for those who just want him. For those who just want him, we are living in a day where there are a lot of things pulling for your attention. When I think about the young people and all of the things that they are exposed to, from social media to peer pressure in school to games like Fortnite and all of the things that they see in this world, there is a lot of things that is pulling for your attention. And God is saying, I'm wondering, can I find one that just wants me? If they gotta walk this life all by themselves, I'm wondering, is there anybody that will have a cry like David in Psalms 63 that says, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you, nobody can satisfy me like you do. Where are those in 2019 who are still desperate for the God that we serve? Where are those who are willing to inconvenience themselves? Those who will turn off the TV, those who will turn off social media, those who will get off the phone to seek the very presence of God, those who understand that I don't even deserve to be called into generation. What are we walking out in front of them? Every now and again, we've got to examine ourselves. We got to take a temperature check because we are living in a day where too many people are passing off churchy for being spiritually connected. Passing off churchy for being spiritually connected. There used to be a time when you would be the first one here and the last one to leave because of the passion that you had on the inside. There used to be a time when you prayed all day. There used to be a time when nobody had to tell you to turn down your plate. But because you loved God, because you wanted to be closer to Him, you will set your own fast day. There used to be a time where you had a fire that burned on the inside of you. But so many of us have lost that. We cannot forget our purpose for being the church. I believe that in this season, God is pulling us back to the place where we make Him our top priority. And I have to keep saying this specifically for the young people, because there is a lot of things that we can obtain in this life. As he mentioned, I have 2 degrees, but I say like Paul that I count them as dung for the sake of knowing Christ. Those degrees mean absolutely nothing to me, but I say like Paul that I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. If I never get fame, if I never get fortune, I got to know Him. I got to know Him, because when everybody else walks away, He is the one that I can lean on. When everybody else walks away, He is the only one that I can depend on. When a job gives me a pink slip, He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. I got to know Him. God is calling us to put Him as our top priority again. He's putting out a clarion call to the people of God to get back in position. Why? Because He's ready to do something in the earth. He's ready to do something in your family. He's ready to do something in your community. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the whole earth is groaning. It's waiting. It's pregnant, waiting for the earnest expectation of the manifestation of the sons of God. But how can God move if we're not in position? How can God speak if we're not in alignment with His will? People of God, this is not the time to play into the hands of the enemy. Don't you know that the enemy will have you so caught up, focused on the temporal things of this life, that you will miss what God is trying to do in your life? It is the job of the enemy to keep us distracted. That's why it's June and almost July. And if I was to pass the mic, and some of you would be real honest, you would testify that you haven't felt the presence of God all year long. Come to church, you lift your hands, but you can't even tap in to the presence of God, because the enemy has distracted you. The enemy has taken your attention. He's made you frustrated with the people that you work with, and he's made you irritated with the people that you worship with, and you're walking around with a spirit of bitterness, and you're walking around with a spirit of disappointment, and you can't even tap into the presence of God. But I came to encourage you today that it's time to get your seeking back. We've allowed the enemy to draw our desire into the direction of things that don't please God. This isn't a word. This is a word of admonishment. That don't please God for too long, even in the church. We're seeing more people become focused on status. We're seeing people become focused on titles. Focused on money. Focused on moving up in their career. And I'm not saying that's not important. I'm saying it's not priority. We've become focused on too many things that have no value for God.
so that we can build our own lives and fulfill our own needs. That is not the purpose of coming to church. Don't you know that when you hear a word on Sunday and that word is deposited in your life, that it is living and it is active, that it is going into motion? And so God says in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12, he says, I'm watching my word to perform it in your life. So what that means is when you receive a deposit from this pulpit, that God is now watching it to see what you're doing. Can I bless her now? Can I bless him now? Is he in position now? He's watching the word so that he can perform it in your life. Not only is he watching the word, but he's coming for a return on that investment. So many of us sit in church for 20, 30 years and we hear the word and we get fat, but we don't produce anything. We don't produce anything. We just get fat and we sit on the pew and we hold it to ourselves, but he's coming for a return on that investment. We are so focused on this self-absorbed society. And God is literally just saying, all I'm looking for is somebody who just wants me. It's that simple. Somebody I can pour my spirit upon. Somebody I can overshadow with my presence. Somebody who hasn't gotten bored with me yet. I'm afraid of Christians who have gotten bored with God. I'm afraid I won't even sit next to you in church if you look too bored, because the God that I serve is magnanimous. The God that I serve is the creator of the universe. So if you can come in his presence and sit with your arms folded and sit like we're wasting your time, that says to me that you're already far gone. You already far gone. If you could come into this house and the spirit of the Lord is here and you won't open up your mouth and you won't lift up your hands in worship. My bishop would say it like this. The scripture says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. But so many times we're sitting there saying, bless me, bless my soul, oh my Lord. It's backwards. We got it twisted in the house of God. He says, I'm just looking for somebody who's desperate for me. And that's why I love our text this morning in Psalm chapter 42. When we get to this place, and the reality is we don't really know who wrote this Psalms, but we believe that it was written by David during the time that he was going through Absalom's rebellion. In this season of David's life, he was put out from the presence of God, so he wasn't hearing the voice of God. I heard that it was something like 75 years that he didn't hear the voice of God. Can you imagine what life would be like if I couldn't hear the voice of God? I would be lost. I would be like a ship without a sail if I couldn't hear the voice of God. So he was a worshiper who found himself outside of the presence of God. So he begins to pen this psalm. And what he says is, what this Psalms tells us is that if it wasn't David, whoever it was, that the author was closely acquainted with the presence of God. He was used to the presence of God, and he had got to the point that he was no longer connected to God in the way that he used to be. But what I like about the author is that he wasn't satisfied with that. He didn't say, oh, well, I came to church today and I didn't feel the Lord. Oh, well, too bad. Time to go home. He was unsatisfied with the fact that he didn't have the voice of God and he couldn't feel the presence of God. So the first thing we have to do, if you want to get your seeking back, is you got to be honest. You got to be willing to tell the truth. You ain't got to walk around acting like everything is all right, acting like you got it all together when they play the shouting music. You taking a step knowing you ain't feel God in 20 years. You got to tell the truth. You got to be honest. God, I don't feel you like I used to. I get on my knees and I can't break through in prayer. I don't know what's going on. The psalmist found himself in a moving through in a place of despair. He was facing affliction from his enemies and he couldn't feel God. So he begins to pen this psalm as a cry of desperation. He says, as the deer pants for for the water. So my soul pants for you, my God. And what he's doing here, he's given a depiction of a dehydrated deer. He's given a depiction of a deer that was dried out, that he didn't have any water. And he says that he was searching for the water. And what we must understand is that the water for the deer represented life. It represented life. It was how he was replenished. It was replenished. It was help. Sorry. It was what helped him to breathe. But it was also a place for him to hide from the enemy. When his enemy would come, he would dip himself in the water. And he was no longer visible. So now he's given this picture. I'm just a man, but I feel like a dehydrated deer. I feel like I can't take another step without the presence of God. I can't live. I can't breathe. How many of you have felt that in that place? You've been in that place where I can't breathe. I don't even have oxygen because I haven't been in the presence of the Lord. Since I'm dried up like a cactus in the desert because I don't have the presence of God. Listen, people of God, you've got to get desperate and you've got to set your heart and mind to seek the Lord. How many of you know that your life depends on it? Your life depends on it. That's why I said, when I said I get nervous when I sit next to people that act bored, I also get nervous that when I sit next to people that act casual, like, oh, it's just another Sunday in the house of the Lord. My life depends on this. My boss has been driving me crazy. If I don't tap in, I might go back to work and cuss her out, but I don't want to be in sin. My life depends on this. Is acting crazy. Husband walked out. Wife walked out. My life depends on this. God is calling us to drink of his presence. Isaiah 51, it says, come unto me, all who are thirsty, come to the waters and drink. And I don't know about you, but every now and again, I got to take another drink. I don't know about you, but every now and again, I lift my hands in worship and I say, thank you, God, for what I have. But what I have isn't enough. I need more of your presence. I need more of your spirit. I need more of your anointing. There is no satisfaction that could be found in anything or anyone else like being in the presence of a holy God. For in his presence is fullness of joy. How are you walking around with depression? How are you walking around with anxiety when the remedy is right here? It says in his presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures at his right hand forevermore. If all I had to do was get rid of depression, was get into his presence, I'll take door number one, Alex. When you get serious about seeking God, you're willing to put everything else on the back burner. The education goes on the back burner. The career goes on the back burner. Pursuing that man, pursuing that woman goes on the back burner. We've got to learn how to have a desperate passion for God and say like Jacob, I don't care if it takes all night, but I won't let you go until you bless me. I won't let you go. Some of you have been struggling with the same thing in your family for the last 20 years, but God is calling you to be the intercessor. God is calling you to get on your knees, to wrestle with him, to say, I won't let you go until you break this habit of teenage pregnancy in my family. I won't let you go until you break this generational curse of drugs. I won't let you go until you destroy the spirit of cancer in my bloodline. I won't let you go until you bless me. I've got to get my seeking back. So the author goes on, let me move through the forest. And he says, when can I come before your presence? The presence of a living God, because he realized that nothing else was going to satisfy. And he was sad not being in the presence of the Lord. And as he was reaching out to God, I can
imagine that he was weeping. He was desperate. He was low. When was the last time you cried before God? When is the last time that you allowed your tears to flow? When was the last time he began to reminisce about how he used to worship in the house of God and how he led the procession? And, you know, sometimes I have conversations with people because I was one of those church kids who was in church all the time, right? And sometimes I have conversations with people and they'd be like, man, when we used to go to church, it used to be like this and the fire used to be there and the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm like, well, you still go to church, so why you don't still feel fire? Why you here? Because you got to understand that your spiritual growth is between you and God. It don't have nothing to do with the pastor. It don't have nothing to do with who preaching. It don't have nothing to do with the musician. It's about you and God. And when you spend that personal time on your knees, when you spend that personal time in the face of God, when I come to church, I don't care who's staring at me. I don't care who's looking at me. I got to give him glory. I got to seek him while he may be found. Too many of us are dangerously surviving off of somebody else's overflow. Dangerously surviving off of someone else's overflow. You're drinking from somebody else's well. But what happens when their well runs dry? What happens when their well runs dry? When God says, come unto me, those who are thirsty and drink. You ain't even got to have no money. It ain't even about to cost you nothing. Just come unto me. He says, I'm calling you into my presence to come up higher and to go a little deeper. And so we get to this very famous verse where the psalmist then says, deep calls unto thee at the sound of thy waterfalls. And I began to do some study around this particular verse because, you know, this is the churchy verse. Deep, oh, yes, Lord, deep calls unto deep. But when you think about the idea or connotation of something calling, the only reason anybody would call something else is because they want a response, right? Right? I'm not, he could have said deep ran after. He could have used any kind of other imagery. But he says deep calls unto deep. So it's this picture of the waters and the waves calling unto each other. So the wave would go this way, and it would crash back this way. It would go this way, and then it would crash back this way. So what the Lord began to show me as I did my study is that this passage means that there are times in our lives when God will allow affliction and trials and hardships to come into our lives because he's trying to get a response. Because the reality is some of us won't get on our knees until we're going through hell. The reality is some of us won't worship until we're going through heartache. So deep calls unto deep don't have nothing to do with being deep. Deep calling unto deep is the Spirit of God trying to get in contact with your spirit. And if I got to do it through tears, if I got to do it through pain, if I got to do it through affliction, if I got to do it through heartache, however I got to do it, my spirit is calling unto your spirit. I'm trying to get a response. When is the last time you gave God a response? We're so quick to blame the devil when we go through things, but it ain't always the devil. He ain't that powerful. He ain't that strong. He ain't omniscient. Sometimes it's the God who created you, who puts you in a path to go through tests and to go through trials, so that when he has tried you, you come forth as pure gold. What is God trying to get out of you? What response is he trying to get out of you? You've been going through the same test over and over again. Deep is calling unto deep. He's calling unto deep. And in this season, it's time to give a response. We've got to challenge ourselves to get our seeking back.
Why? Because there is a generation who's watching us. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 24 and 6, this is the generation of those that seek him, who seek my face, O Jacob. And one thing I've learned about this generation is that they don't want all the fluff. One thing I learned about this generation is they don't want all the glitz and the glam. But at the end of the day, they just want God. They just want God, and it is on us. It is our responsibility to teach them how to get into the presence of God. How are they going to get to the place of destiny if nobody shows them? How are they going to get to the place where the Spirit of the Lord is going to fall in their life if nobody prays them through, if nobody pushes them? The Bible declares in Joel chapter 2, and Peter picks it up in Acts chapter 2, he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Are we living in the last days? He says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. God is trying to put a deposit on the inside of him, but we need somebody that's going to show us the way. We need somebody that's going to lead by example. Don't keep telling me to pray. Don't keep telling me to live holy. Don't keep telling me to be righteous, and you live ratchet. We've got to get our seeking back. We've got to get our seeking back. I came to admonish you this morning that if you want to go into this next season that God has ordained for your life, you've got to get your seeking back. You've got to take full ownership of your walk with Christ. Because at the end of the day, when you stand before God, God ain't gonna look at you and blame your pastor. He ain't gonna look at you and blame the deacons. He ain't gonna look at you and blame the ministers. He gonna look at you and say, depart from me. You gonna say, but I preached in your name, and I shouted in your name, and I sang in your name. He's gonna say, depart from me. I never knew you. How do you get to know him? By pressing into his presence. Every opportunity that you get. Oh, God is me. As the deer pants for the water. My soul is hungry. My soul is thirsty. I can't live without you. I can't move without you. I need you, oh God. Like the ocean needs the rain. I need you, oh God. I can't breathe without you. Can't make a decision without you. Can't spend my money without you. Can't do it without you. I can do it without a husband. I can do it without a wife. But God, I can't live. I can't live. Don't take your presence away from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Stand to your feet. We've got to get our seeking back. We've got to get our seeking back. The Church of Christ has got to get our seeking back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came to admonish you this morning. Because there's no need to have youth services and to pour into the young people if they don't have people who are pushing them. And I'm not saying that they don't, but if you're not in position, I'm admonishing you to get in position. If you're not in place, if you know that you come in here and treat this place like a casual place or a social club, you know that you come in here and you don't take full advantage that we have access to a holy God, and you don't take full advantage to the fact that we have access to Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He heals diabetes. He heals migraines. He heals cancer. He heals high blood pressure. If you don't take full advantage that you have access to the God who's still casting devils out, who's still working miracles, who's still opening doors, this is your time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Can we just access his presence real quick? Can we just access his presence real quick? God, we need you. God, we're desperate for you. God, we're panting for you. God, we're running after you. Our souls are thirsty this morning. Our souls are hungry this morning. Nobody but you, God. Nobody but you, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to open up the altar this morning. Maybe there's somebody in here who don't even know this God that I'm talking about, who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe that's why you don't feel him, because you don't have a relationship. But if you are in the house this morning, I'm going to invite you to the God who's been seeking for you, the God who's been looking for you. If you are here, the altar is open for you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my second call is going to be to those who are willing to be honest and say, Lord, I've been cold. Lord, I've been lukewarm. And God, I want to come back to your presence. I want to go deeper in you. I want to be a good example for my grandchildren. I want to be a good example for my son and my daughter. The altar is open for you. We just going to pray corporately. The altar is open for you. I know this word was for somebody, so I know I'm in the house. I know I'm in the house. If you know that you've been treating church like something less than access to the presence of a holy God, the altar is open for you. Yes, Lord. Come on, we want to be filled with the presence of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Come on, just sing it and worship. Hallelujah.
You pour out Spirit.
Come on, he's here right now. Some of you just looking, but he's here right now.
I will open up the time. Fill me up.
Come on, this is our heart's cry, God. Take out the things that are not like you, Lord. The things that's been in your way. This is our heart's cry. We want to be filled with you to overflowing, oh God. Fill us, oh God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Come on. We're going to pray as your hands are raised. Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us this morning. God, we thank you for those who woke up early and got up out of their beds, not even knowing what to expect, oh God. But we thank you because you know exactly what we need. God, you are so intentional, and we love you for that this morning. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. First off, if there is someone in here who is unsaved, maybe they were afraid to get up. Maybe they were afraid to take this walk. But Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would come into their hearts, oh God, that you would change their minds, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that today they would make you Lord and Savior of their lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let them know that nothing else will satisfy. Father, I pray for those who are under the sound of my voice. I pray for the young people first, that you will put a passion and that you will put a desire for you down on the inside, that they would understand that church is more than just coming to youth group, that church is more than just dancing, that church is more than just social time, but God, that they would understand that this is the place where they encounter a very real God. Give them a desire. Give them a heart that beats for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give them a love for you, God. God, where they make you their priority. Teach them to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of your righteousness, knowing that everything else will be added unto them. And Father, I pray for those who are seasoned, those who are more mature. God, I pray that they have heard this clarion call this morning, and that on this week, oh God, this word will turn over in their spirits, and they begin to say, God, I got to get my seeking back. I got to spend less time on the phone, less time watching Netflix, less time watching TV, and I got to get into the presence of God. God, give them the strength to run after you. Let them be like that deer that pants for the water brook. Let their souls be desperate for you, oh God. For you declared in your word that when we get serious about seeking you, that we won't be disappointed. There's some things we have before you this morning. There's some prayer requests we have before you this morning. God, help us to press into your presence because you promised that we wouldn't be disappointed, that we can expect an answer. We can expect a move. All we got to do is press into your presence. All we got to do is press into your presence. God, teach us to turn up our worship. Teach us to turn up our praise. God, help us to divorce the mindset that it don't take all of that. David entered into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. He worshiped you until he danced out of his clothes because he was grateful to have the presence of God back in his midst. Help us, oh God, to be even more undignified than this. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you praise. Amen. God bless you.
Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over.